Hello, welcome once again to Leto's Law. I'm Steve Leto. I got a great email the other day, and I actually asked the guy if I could read his email, and he said, sure, go right ahead. So Jim wrote to me and said, Steve, I enjoy your YouTube channel. I have something that's bothered me for a long time. Feel free to answer it in a video if you feel it's appropriate, and I do. A few years ago, I was called for jury duty. The trial involved a possible DUI with an accident and injury. Both attorneys explained that the trial would involve speeds, distances, visibility issues, and factual analysis of testimony. Now, I'm an engineer, and when I said that I was an engineer, during the jury interview process, I was intently questioned concerning my ability to analyze and systematically solve problems, and I said that I could do that. There were two other engineers in the jury pool, and they likewise were questioned and likewise answered as I did. To my great surprise, all three of us were excused and dismissed. And not by just one side. In other words, one side would dismiss one engineer, the other side dismissed the other engineer. To the best of my understanding, we were released because the attorneys wanted the case tried based on their powers of persuasion rather than the ability of juries to carefully analyze facts. This greatly disturbs me and strikes me as unfair and a perversion of the jury selection process. What are your thoughts on that? And Jim asks me that question. And I'm, you know, it's a great question. And on its face, it would appear to be that you got two snaky attorneys who are trying to game the system and somehow are saying we'd rather have idiots in the jury pool and then in the jury box to decide our case rather than people who can figure stuff out and apply science to facts and so on. And now, I can see where that thought process comes from and where it leads to, but it's actually, I think, not quite that bad. And I'm going to tell you my favorite jury selection story in a bit. And I've told it before, but I don't remember which video it was in, probably a long time ago, so most of you haven't heard it. But if you think about it like this, jury instructions are written in plain English so everyone can understand them. And it'll actually say, you know, you are to decide if the plaintiff is entitled to compensation from the defendant for negligence. Here's what negligence is. Here's what compensation is. Here's what the elements of damages are. Here's, and every single thing in these instructions is laid out in absolutely plain English that a seventh grader or sixth grader could easily understand. I know people complain and say the laws are confusing, but the interesting thing is that when it comes to jury instructions, they do a very good job of converting it into simple English that people can actually understand. So there's nothing wrong with having people on the jury who are not professionals in any given field. But I think that one of the legitimate concerns that I would have as an attorney, regardless of which side I'm on, is that let's suppose we had a car accident case and something happens and the car accident is an extremely important issue in this case. And let's suppose that when we're calling the potential jurors into the pool to ask them questions and decide whether they belong in the box, it's called voir dire, where you ask them questions. That's the Latin term, old French Latin. And the idea is that you're trying to find suitable jurors who are not biased. And so let's suppose you said this entire thing involves a car accident, and suddenly some guy goes, you go, what do you do for a living, sir? And he goes, I'm a car accident reconstructionist. It's all I do. I study car collisions, car accidents, car impacts. I got a PhD in it. I teach it. I taught at Harvard for 20 years. I taught nothing but how to recreate and interpret what an accident scene shows us. Okay? Now, here's the thing. You might go, wait, that guy should be a judge, right? I mean, isn't that the guy you want deciding your case? Well, here's the problem. Both sides are going to bring in experts who are probably similar to this guy's expertise. And my guy is going to testify, and the other guy gets to cross-examine. And then the other side is going to put in their guy, and I get to cross-examine. And we all know what would happen in this case if it went back into the jury chambers. All the jurors are going to look at that guy and go, who's the winner? Who do you think? And this one juror's expertise is going to become outsized, meaning that it's going to get more weight than it deserves. Because you've got six jurors in a civil case. Or in a criminal case, it'd be 12 jurors, right? And you got one juror who suddenly has more authority than the others. And that would not be right, okay? And I don't care if the guy likes me or not. The point is that you want each juror to have a vote. and each juror's vote to be just the same. And so I suspect that what was going on in this case was, if there's a lot of engineering stuff going on, if it seemed to be over the heads of the jurors, their natural inclination would be to turn to an engineer and go, what do you think? Now, you might say, Steve, but there's nothing wrong with that. Wouldn't you want an engineer to explain this stuff? Well, that's assuming that the engineer can explain this stuff without taking sides. But remember that the engineer, like the other jurors, has been told, you're going to take a side and you get a vote. So let's suppose that you're the engineer and you're back there and you think that the plaintiff should win. And they ask you, what do you think? Explain the engineering to us. Could you explain the engineering in such a way that you wouldn't shadow it to lean the direction you wanted? I mean, I suppose you could, but how would we ever know? And that is a real concern. I can tell you that I was called one time where I actually got to go to the courthouse and sit in the pool and get voir dired. And the attorney's asking me questions. And one of the attorneys actually said, you know, what do you do for a living? I said, well, I've got a couple jobs, multitasker, but one of which is I'm an attorney. And the guy said, oh, what kind of law do you practice? I said, Lemon Law. He goes, what's that? And I go, defective cars. He goes, oh, anything else I should know about you legally? And I said, yeah, I taught law school for 10 years, including trial practice. Which I said specifically so that the young attorney would realize I'm already critiquing what he's doing and he's doing it wrong. But I digress. And I didn't get picked, and neither did the attorney next to me. And I wasn't offended. I didn't want to get involved in this case anyways. When I heard the original basic statement of the facts, I'm like, oh, this is going to be a nightmare. There was a car accident, and a guy was towing a trailer, and somehow the car and the trailer came into contact with a car in another lane. And the entire case is going to be who's telling the truth. Did this guy go over his line, or did this guy go over the line? And you know something? I didn't want to get involved, but I would have if chosen, right? But the point is that what happens if you have a jury of six people and they go back in a room and they're the other jurors are confused about a legal instruction, a jury instruction. They're told, if you've got questions or problems, you can ask the judge to reread instructions to you. But it's a waste of time. It's spent, you know, people want to get out of court. They want to go home. They got lives. Aren't they more likely going to turn to one of the attorneys and go, hey, can you explain that negligence thing one more time? And again, if I was back there, I probably could, but it would be inappropriate. They don't get the law from me. They don't get the law from another juror. They get the law from the judge. Everyone's got a different job here. And so I know it seems odd that certain occupations would get excluded from juries for these reasons. But I suspect that if you were an engineer and you were called in on a case like the one I'm talking about, guy driving down the road, another guy, and boom, these cars hit. If there's nothing engineering about that story, it's just literally he said, she said, I'd put an engineer in that trial all day long. I don't care, on that jury all day long. I would be fearful that if there's too much engineering testimony, that the other jurors might defer to that engineer and say, what do you think about that testimony? And that can be a problem because they're supposed to make their deliberations amongst themselves as they hash out what they interpret the facts to be. But the facts that they got should have come from the jury box, not from another juror. And so I hear about engineers who don't make juries. I hear about lawyers who don't make juries. But I've known jurors who were those things. And I've actually known a guy who's an attorney who's gotten on a couple of juries. Happens. Engineers, I've heard of them getting on juries too. And so keep in mind that it's probably more a matter of they're worried that you would take over. You'd get back and you'd take over. Somebody I know who was an attorney got called for jury duty. Guy had a bit of an ego on him. And he told me later, he goes, you know, I got selected for jury duty. I go, how'd that go for you? And he goes, they didn't even name me foreperson. I wasn't the foreman. Like, what's up with that? And the guy was offended because he just assumed, he goes, I'm the lawyer. I should become foreman. I said, not really. They can name anybody they want. And he's like, but I'm the lawyer. And I go, maybe they decided to follow the judge's instructions and not defer to one another as being a more expert than the other. The jurors aren't experts. They're not supposed to be. They're supposed to be people looking at the facts of the case and deciding based on their own human experience. So I'm just going to tell you my, and so by the way, with respect to Jim, it wasn't a slight at you, and it really wasn't the attorneys trying to pull a fast one here. They were probably more worried that if engineers got back there, it would turn into an engineering discussion, and the jurors who are deliberating this are going to go, well, you know, the guy's an engineer. He must be right. You might be right, but you're right on the engineering. You're not necessarily right on the credibility of witnesses, for instance, or who had, you know, a better view of the accident, that kind of thing. Foundational stuff. It's got nothing to do with engineering. So I suspect that's more of it, but it doesn't matter. I know some people will just never believe anything I say on this topic. The last thing I have to tell you is my favorite jury selection story that I was involved in. I did a case in Macomb County on the east side of Detroit back in the 90s, and it was involving a used car on behalf of some people who bought a used car from a used car dealer. And my allegation was that the used car dealer was just an unethical business. And my other allegation was that the man who ran the business himself was unethical, and he is the one who sold the car to my client. And so during jury selection, the jury was told that this case involves a used car purchase, and the lawsuit's been brought by a disgruntled used car buyer against a used car seller. And so we put a bunch of jurors in the box, and then we start questioning them, and based on the voir dire answers, we start excusing them as we are allowed. And each side gets so many for cause, and or you get actually as many as you want for cause, but it doesn't happen very often. And then you get, you know, you get a certain number of peremptories who are people you can bump for no reason at all. And so, you know, I ask a guy, I go, sir, what do you do for a living? He goes, I sell used cars. And there is a bit of snickering throughout the courtroom. And I thought to myself, this is an interesting opportunity. And one thing that you teach students in trial practice class is that if a court will allow you to ask broad-based questions during jury selection, you often do it simply because you can get more of your story across before the jury trial even starts. And so I said, I'm just curious. I go, you sell used cars? He goes, yeah. Ever sell new cars? He goes, nope, purely used cars. And I said, how long have you been doing it? He named some length of time that was rather long. And I said, okay. I said, let me ask you a question. I said, you probably know that used car salespeople have got a reputation probably similar to that of an attorney's, meaning that there are people out there that have a knee-jerk response that all attorneys are bad. There are people who think all used car salesmen are bad. And the guy laughed and he goes, yeah, I'm aware of that, you know? And I said, okay. I said, let me ask you a question. I said, would you agree with me that in the world or universe of used car sellers, there is a spectrum? There are good used car sellers. There are bad used car sellers. And the idea that all used car sellers are bad is actually more of a broad-based stereotype. And it's actually caused by just a handful of bad used cars. Would you agree with me on that? That it's a handful of bad apples that ruins it for everybody. Would you agree with that or no? And he goes, no, I'd agree with that. He goes, that's absolutely right. He goes, there's a couple bad actors in this field and they make us all look bad. And I said, oh, okay. I said, which are you? Are you a good used car salesman? Or are you a bad one? And now, here's the thing. I had planned on asking that question as I led up to it. And there's a chance that the guy was not going to like the question. Because the question is, the broader base question, is this guy on my side now or not? In other words, does he understand what I'm getting at? Because if you said, Steve, do you understand lawyers have a bad reputation? Yes. Is that because some of them are bad? Yes. What are you? Are you a good one or a bad? I said, I'm one of the good ones. I'm offended by the bad ones who give me a bad name. That's what I would say to you. So I was hoping he would, and he did. And he looked up proudly and said, I'm one of the good ones. I said, okay, thank you. I said, Your Honor, it's fine with us. I sat down. My opposing counsel, I swear to God, had a grin on his face like he'd just been handed a Christmas present and all his birthday presents on the wrong day of the year and was going to get another set at Christmas and his birthday. It's like, oh, you sell used cars? Okay, you're good with us too. And he sits down. So now here's the thing. We're going to have a jury trial where I'm going to spend 3 days bashing on a used car dealer. And I'm convinced that the evidence is going to come out that this guy's a bad guy. My defendant and his attorney are convinced, no, That man's crazy to have put a used car dealer, seller, in the jury box in a jury of six. That man's got 1/6 of the power back there. And long story short, case ends. Jury goes back to deliberate. Comes up very, very shortly after and says, we're going to give the plaintiff everything they ask for, including attorney fees, court costs, everything. The judge actually awarded that, but the jury actually asked for the receipts. And they took the receipts back and they actually added up every penny my client asked for and gave her an award that was actually a very unusual number, but it contained every last penny she'd asked for. And later, I was talking to people about this and I would tell them the story. And they'd go, wait, you put the guy on the jury knowing he sold used cars? And I said, yes, but you understood the question preceding that. And here's the thing. If I lost that trial, I understand that, yeah, I look like an idiot right now. I probably wouldn't be telling you the story. But I also understood that if I got that idea across to him, this was his opportunity to actually do something about bad used car dealers. If he's a good one, he wants to do that. And so it became a game of chicken. I think this guy wants to help clean up his field. And my opponent thinks, no, used car salesmen will just stick together because that's what they do. But it turns out we won. And I'm convinced this day that that used car salesman went back into that courtroom or jury room. I did not ask. I never spoke to him, by the way. I never spoke to him again. I just smiled and thanked him, thanked the group. And I am convinced this day that he went back into that jury deliberation room motivated. After he heard the evidence in the case, motivated to let's do something about this because that was a transaction that shouldn't have happened that way. So that's a little story about jury selection in my case. And, you know, like I said, I've had engineers, lawyers, other people pop up on my juries. And I can tell you, I can think of an example right now in a criminal case where I left a lawyer on the jury panel and it worked out for me. So, you know, the other side left him on too. So these things happen, but they're not kicking you out because you think clearly. They're kicking you out for fear that you would be able to overly influence your fellow jurors. At least that's my take. Questions or comments, put them below. Keep the emails coming. Thanks a lot. Talk to you later. Bye-bye.